Welcome to the November 4th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Glory Worth Striving For. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
It's good to see everybody this morning. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. And whether you're a longtime member or first-time guest, we are glad that you are here this morning. We would like to find out who is here. So if there are on the inside aisle of every pew, there is a friendship pad. We invite everyone to fill that out, put your name down. Guests, we ask that you put all your contact information if you feel comfortable. We will respect the fact that you gave that to us and just to contact you with a letter and to say thank you for coming. We appreciate you being here. We want everybody to have a chance to fill that out, check the appropriate boxes. Then if you'd send it to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to fill that out, and then send it back when it gets to the end. And we ask the first person on the pew if you would rip out the pages that were used so our ushers can get those at the end of the service. That would be very helpful. Several announcements I'll make. We do have a regular schedule today. If you notice in the bulletin all the things that are happening, we are having children's time today in worship, so we want you to come down. After, let me look into your bulletin, just after hymn number 198, we want the kids to come down. Let's come over here. How about that? Right in front of the handbells. That would be great for all the children to come see me. I have a starred announcement. Please announce that members from Cookbook Committee will be available in Smith Hall after church. You may pick up your cookbooks or get more. Okay. You can pick up, there will be members from the cookbook committee for you to pick up your cookbook in Smith Hall right after worship. So we appreciate all the work that's going on with that, and you can pick those up today. Let's see, other announcements that I'll make. We are in the middle of Operation Christmas Child. Our church has done a great job of bringing supplies to be put in the boxes for the children. We need to have all those supplies in today, if at all possible. Our children and our youth will be getting together this Wednesday during mission time, putting those boxes together, and we need those supplies a couple days early so we can organize those. So if you can come and get those supplies, that would be great. There is a special meeting tonight of all our high school youth and parents who are interested in the Bahamas mission trip. That will take place today at 6 o'clock in Adult 4. So we want to make that, that's a little bit of a change. We'll be in Adult 4 for that meeting tonight at 6. Let's see. I think that's it. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. You have already given us your information on the friendship pad. We'd like for you to raise your hand if you're a guest with us this morning. And we want to give you just a small gift. So just raise your hand as our ushers come down the aisles. Inside this packet of information, you'll find a letter from our pastor, as well as information about the story of College Park, and a newsletter as well that tells you what's going on currently in the life of College Park. So we pray that this hour will be a blessing to you, and we pray that God will be shown during this hour of worship. I think it's time for our deacon election. Who am I? Mr. Robert, come on.
I need to call us into conference for a few moments. We have one item to take care of, and that is the election of deacons. As the ushers are going to come back down the aisle to pass out ballots, if you would come down, what I need you to do is to indicate if you are a member of College Park Baptist Church. We need you to raise your hand to receive a ballot. There are plenty of pencils around. They have some in their hands, and if you need one, just signal them to that effect. If you have already filled out an absentee ballot and happen to still be here, you cannot vote again, of course. So I just need you to indicate as they come down the aisle if you're a church member that you'll need a ballot to vote. Bill Henson is the chairman of the Deacon Election Committee. He will take these ballots as they are gathered. They will be locked in the church office, and we will count them after the service. I believe that concludes the gathering. We will consider ourselves out of conference, and thank you very much.
It is time for us to begin worship together. You will find a responsive reading in your bulletin. This morning comes from Psalm 66, verses 1 through 5 and verses 16 through 20. I invite you to stand now for this responsive reading. Please read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God,
how awesome are Your deeds! So great is Your power that Your enemies cringe before You. All the earth bows down to You. They sing praise to You. They sing praise to Your name.
Come and see what God has done. How awesome His works in man's behalf. Come and listen, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what He has done for me. I cried out to Him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer.
Praise be to God, who has not rejected my prayer or withheld His love from me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Will you pray with me? Father, it is a glorious day. It's glorious not just because the sun is shining. It's glorious because you are in this place. We can feel you. We know that you are here, that your Holy Spirit is in this place. That makes it a glorious day. It's a glorious day because, Father, we recognize there is so much that we have been blessed with. And we deserve none of it. You give and you give and you give and you give. And Father, we are so blessed. You gave your Son to die on the cross for us, to take our punishment. What a glorious gift. Sometimes, Father, we think we can make it on our own. Sometimes we think we've done this all by ourselves. Everything that we have, yeah, you gave it to us, but we earned it. Father, remind us there is nothing that we have, nothing we've been given, nothing in this world that is good that doesn't come from you. And because you have given, we have come to worship. Because you are holy and mighty, we come to worship. We come to praise your name, to sing and to make music, to say prayers, and to tell the world that we love you, we believe in you, and we trust in you. May that be the focus of our worship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, be joyful in the Lord, O ye lands.
children to come on down. Y'all come have a seat right here. And I'll bend that. All right. Cool. How's everybody doing? Okay. I got a few more coming. I need for y'all. I'm going to do something. I need a little room. So I'm going to, y'all stay right where you are. I'm going to back up a little bit. I don't want to get sued or anything. Okay. Back up, back up. Okay. When you see what I pull out, you'll back up. Okay. Anybody know? We got a few more coming. Okay. Anybody know what this is?
A knife.
It's a knife. But it's so much more than a knife. It, can I get some grunts? Okay, no, maybe not. All right, this is a cool knife. It's got a lot of different things on it. Number one, can you read all those? Do you see numbers? You see numbers? What does it look like? Do you have something like, you've got some? Do you have a ruler? Oh, it's a transformer. Okay, it's like a ruler. See, you can measure the distance of things. Well, so you got a ruler on there. All right, and then opens up, and does anybody know what those are? You think they're, no, it's nose hair pickers. You just, oh, okay. All right, oh, they're available if anybody needs them. Okay, no, they are pliers. There's different kinds of things that you can pick up, and let's see. There's all other. Now I need everybody to back up a little bit. Back up. Here comes. All right. Now, this thing right here. Can you tell what that is? You see what it is? It is a circle. You can go fishing with that. You can put a little fishing line. You can go fishing with this thing. Now, let's see. Oh, here's something else. Well, it's not a knife, but this is a small screwdriver. You can make a little, is that flat little thing? You put in a little screwdriver and you just do it like that. Here comes the big daddy. There's a big screwdriver right there. You see that? That's a little bit bigger. Let's go over here. Oh, this is a good one. Anybody tell what that is?
A knife.
Kind of like a knife. It's a bottle opener. Okay. Yeah. For all those times you're camping, you need a bottle opener. Then we got this. No, it's another screwdriver. It's called a Phillips head screwdriver. Oh, and then finally, dun, 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 a knife. That's right. Now, sometimes, that's why I want to write. Now, look at all the tools on that thing. How cool is that? You know, no, I like it. I like it. And they make them really small. I don't know if I have it in my pocket. No, I don't. But they make them really small, and they make them really big. And there are all these kinds of tools that we use. Sometimes we need a really small screwdriver because it's really small and we got to get in there. And sometimes we need a big screwdriver. Sometimes we need to pull nose hairs. Sometimes we need to cut something. Sometimes we need to measure things. But you know, sometimes in our lives, you know, this tool reminds me, you know, we need a lot of things in our life. Sometimes do you feel like you just need a hug sometimes? And it makes you feel good. Sometimes when you do something wrong, what does mom and dad have to do? They fuss. They discipline. Sometimes we just want to have fun. Sometimes we just need to laugh. Everything that we do, Jesus gives to us. He has given you your parents to make sure that you do the right thing. He has given you a place to live to make sure you're warm and safe. He has given us a lot of different things that we need in our life. We don't always need a hug. Sometimes we need to be alone. Sometimes we need parents to tell us when we're doing wrong. Jesus provides us everything that we need right when we need it. And whenever I look at this knife and think about all the things that it can do, I'm reminded that Jesus does even more.
He does so much for us. He loves you. He wants to give you a big old hug. He wants to provide you this place called College Park. He gives you your family. He gives you your friends. And that's why we come to worship. That's a pretty big deal for all the things that Jesus does for us. Don't you think?
Yeah.
And we should be thankful for that. Can you pray with me? Close your eyes. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus and all that he provides for us. All the many things that he does. Remind us, God, that there's nothing that we have that didn't come from you. Remind us there's nothing that we need that we can't get from you. You are ultimately all that we need. Help us to live like that every day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
As we consider the glory of God and share God's word through the reading of Scripture, I'll be reading first in the Old Testament this morning in the 119th Psalm, as printed in your order of worship. I'll be reading verses 137 through 144 from the 119th Psalm. Let us hear the word of God. Righteous are you, O Lord, and your laws are right. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. My zeal wears me out, for my enemies ignore your words. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting, and your law is true. Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. Your statutes are forever right. Give me understanding, that I may live. And also from the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk. And if you haven't been to Habakkuk in a while, or if you've never been to Habakkuk, it is at the end of the Old Testament. I think there are only four books after Habakkuk before you get to Matthew. So go to Matthew and go backwards. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, and Habakkuk, right at the end of the Old Testament. From Habakkuk, the first and second chapters, the first four verses of each chapter. I'll give you a moment to find it. Words shared from the Lord to the prophet Habakkuk. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. And justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. And from the second chapter, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous will live by his faith. And from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, in the 19th chapter, beginning at verse 1, a familiar story of the tax collector Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we consider your scripture, as we see the faces of these children this morning and our young people, we are reminded of your creation. We are reminded that you created us, that you made us, as the scripture says, in your own image. Lord, we are reminded that you created us and you made us in your own image and for your purpose. Not for our purposes, Lord, but for yours. And Lord, as we take stock of the gifts that you have given us and all the things that you have blessed us with and allowed us to have in our lives, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our resources, our friends, our family, and everything that you have blessed us with, Lord, we are reminded that these things are gifts from you that we may use to glorify you in accordance with your purpose. Lord, the scripture tells us that whatever we do, whether in word or in deed, we should do it all in your name, giving thanks to you for it. Lord, help us to set that standard for our lives this week, each and every one of us in our lives, to think about not what we need to do to accomplish our purpose, Lord, but what we need to do to glorify you. Let us take stock of our words and our actions and our thoughts and our prayer and our worship and ask ourselves, Lord, are we doing this for your glory, or are we doing this for some other purpose? Lord, we love you. Your grace and mercy abound in our lives, and we are so grateful for it. You have given us the ultimate gift, and you have made us and created us. Lord, help us to use our energy to glorify you this week. Lord, be with everyone here. Be with those who are not here. Help us this week as we deal with children, as we deal with young people, as we deal with our neighbors, those who are sitting beside us, those that we're going to come in contact with, to have our minds right, to use what you have given us for your glory. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of the seasons and the beauty of change that we have all around us this time of year. Lord, we thank you for this congregation and for their desire to bring about change in your world. Take these gifts we offer you now, Lord, and use them not only to change the world, but the minds and hearts of those who live in it. Bless the gift, the giver, and the receiver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We read each Sunday from the Revised Common Lectionary, and it's a sampling of Scripture, and it kind of, it's a very systematic approach, but yet it may seem a little random at times, but what it is it's a psalm, it's an Old Testament passage, then typically a gospel reading, and a reading from one of the letters of Scripture. And this morning, the lectionary reading from the letters, the epistle writing, is from 2 Thessalonians, Paul's second letter to the church at Thessalonica. So I want to read from that this morning. If you have your Bible and you'd like to turn with me, I'll be reading from 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. I'll be reading a few verses there. It begins, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith and all the persecutions and trials that you're enduring. And with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of God our Father, the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting reading. In this reading, in this epistle, the Apostle Paul expresses his hope that the Christians in Thessalonica will bring glory to Christ. And that sounds great. But if you think about it in the context of our world, we're really not raised that way, most of us. You know, our culture, our society gives us a different set of goals. It usually gives us a goal to be successful, to make a name for ourselves. We kind of look at the conspicuous achievers, those kind of rags to riches, and we kind of hold those stories up and we think, oh, that's just what a wonderful story of the American dream. And we tell our children, you can be anything you want to be as long as you apply yourself. You can even be president of the United States. And some of you may say, I want to shoot higher than that, Mom. I really do. I want my goals to be higher than that. I was reading a journal where it talked about a university professor who described the process of promotion. He said, in that process, he said, I am supposed to amass a large collection of favorable quotations from students. Then I'm supposed to gather with that high marks in student satisfaction based on the surveys that they give the students. Then I'm supposed to accumulate a large number of professional writings that have been published in journals. And I'm to present that at the time of consideration for a promotion. And the university, in effect, is telling me, if you want the glory of promotion to a higher academic rank, then first, you have to show us the glory that you've already achieved. If you think about another area of influence, and some will may relate a little bit more to this, I think about last week when Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, tried to upstage the World Series by announcing that he had opted out of his contract with the Yankees, leaving 70, 80 something million dollars on the table. And to all of that, I would say, who cares? Who really cares? I think about Terrell Owens, T.O., in Dallas, and all of his self-promotion. And what really troubles me about it is not that you got some guy that's out there, but anyway, that's not really what bothers me. The thing that bothered me the most is a trend of these characters that's teaching our young people that if you want to be a success at something, you have to act like some kind of clown, you know, promoting yourself in some bizarre way. It's all about me and what I can do. You see them celebrate after a touchdown. Like, who blocked for you? Who gave you the ball? Who threw you the ball? It's not about you. It's about team. But yet you see it, and it's rampant in our culture. Now, understand, God is not against success. Okay? I really don't think he's particularly interested in seeing us fail to achieve our full potential. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we've been given gifts. And young people, you've been given gifts. I have never seen a more talented group of young people. And I know you look around and you don't think that about yourselves. But you just think about the gifts and abilities that you've been given. And think about how you could glorify God if you really were serious about using your talents and your abilities to glorify Him. Not for yourself, but about the one who gave you those gifts, the one who created you, just like you are. But the rub comes when we try to put personal success. You know, when we put our personal fulfillment, or when we try to gain in the admiration of school or society, when that becomes more important than our service to God, you know, anytime we take personal achievement and make it our priority, it will edge out glorifying God every single time. But we just don't get that. Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, if you go back sometime and read 1 Thessalonians, it's only 2 pages in my Bible, so you could read that this afternoon. It's good reading. But as he starts with them, he noted, and he's talking with them, he noted that the gospel was not something that was just a concept that they kind of assented to. Far from that. He says in chapter 1, verse 9, he says these words, "They turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God." God became number one in their lives. Became the highest priority. At one time, he says, you live for yourselves. That was your goal. You know, you worshiped the idols of money, power, prestige, pleasure. You worshiped all of those, but then you were transformed by the living Christ. Doing God's will, glorifying God became central rather than glorifying yourself. So all this talk about glory, I mean, that's the theme in worship today, glorifying God. What comes to your mind when you hear the word glory? And the glory of the Lord was all around them, and they were sore afraid. We have this image of bright lights and lots of spectacle, right? You know, glory suggests luminescence or brightness. Now, God is supremely great. Understand that. And God's glory outshines everything else. You know, sometimes it even outshines the nature of God because we don't fully understand the nature of God. Remember several weeks ago, we quoted from Psalm 19. It said, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Another translation said, "The heavens are telling the glory of God." So what is the glory of God? John Calvin says, creation is the theater of God's glory. God's beauty, His intelligence, His power are demonstrated in the created world. Granted, we understand that. But since the fall, there's been kind of a brokenness in creation. There's suffering. There's things that occur. Theologians refer to them as natural evil. What that means basically is there was a hurricane, or there was a tornado. There was something that occurred within nature which seems on the surface to be evil in nature. So creation by itself, if you look just at creation, it's a little ambiguous as to the nature of God. Some who've experienced devastation. I don't know, within your own personal life, if you've had a family. I think about these college students that suffered in a fire. And you think about their families. You think about those that experienced the heartache of Katrina and the aftermath of that, all the natural disasters that occur, the circumstances of life. And you look at those people and sometimes they may wonder about the goodness of God. But bear in mind, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19, a great confession regarding the glory of God and the goodness of God. You have to remember that was written in Israel, a community of faith. And as they were a community of faith, they were God's people through their direct contact with God and through the words of prophecy of God's chosen prophets, they are understanding that God loves the world. God loves everything in the world. God loves everyone in the world. And they learn that God is working redemptively in history. He's revealing himself as a redemptive force in history to bring creation back to wholeness. So they're struggling with it too. You know, in a broken world, I think the bottom line is sometimes we kind of sell the bill of goods. Well, if you're upset, well, just take a stroll through wildflowers and you'll feel better. And there's nothing wrong with wildflowers. I love wildflowers. But sometimes they need a little bit more than that. You know, they've had shattering experiences of grief and tragedy, painful medical setbacks, all of these things, family issues. And so we begin to perceive our world through our pain. I guess what I'm really trying to say is sometimes our tears blur the beauty of creation. And that's why Christ came. To bring revelation and to bring reconciliation to a broken world. He comes to show us the glory of God. There was a song, it's an oldies. When I say oldies, I'm talking about way before the 90s. Okay? It's a song by the Everly Brothers. And in the song they sang, "Bring your love to me, don't send it." And in a theological context, that's exactly what God did. He didn't send a greeting card, although he did give us his word. But more importantly, he brought his love to us in the person of Jesus Christ. God became flesh, took on skin and bones to reveal God to us. Jesus said it this way in John 14:9. He says, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Period. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we see God's glory as we look at Jesus. But it's a very peculiar glory. It's not the glory that we would imagine with 1,000 suns or the stars. It's not the glory we would imagine from special effects, from some movie, something dazzling. Far from that. The glory of God is manifest on the night of his arrest. Jesus is praying with the disciples in the upper room. He's about to be beaten, tortured, spat upon, and crucified. And Jesus says this. He prays to the Father, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you." Earl Palmer is a pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Berkeley, California. He's been there for years. And he notes that Christ is glorified by his humiliation on the cross. As Jesus hangs there on the cross, we see the true nature of God. You know, we perceive God's greatness in Jesus' lowliness and his sacrifice. Now, it was very easy, if you go back and read New Testament stories, it's really easy to see God's glory when Jesus heals the blind man on the temple steps. It's really easy to see God's glory in that, right? But the glory of God is more profoundly seen where we see Jesus with his disciples, a towel in his hand, washing the feet of his disciples. In the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, the servant Lord, we see the glory of God. How strong he is to stoop so low. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that God lets Jesus, God incarnate, get pushed out of the world and onto a cross. God does that not only for reconciliation, but for revelation. To show us who he is. What he's really about. God's purpose in the cross is not only to save, but to reveal God's true character. But Christ not only demonstrates how to glorify God, he transforms us. There's your transformer, Jeff. He transforms us so that we can glorify God also. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:15, "He died for all, he being Christ. He died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them." You and I, so according to the text, are to live our lives for the purpose of glorifying God. The Westminster Catechism declares that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Well said, isn't it? If you want a little more contemporary quote, former President Ronald Reagan said there's no limit to what can be accomplished so long as no one cares about getting the credit. And if you put that in theological terms, I hope our prayer is that God gets the credit. We want to say with Paul then, if we give God the credit, we should want to say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am, for the purpose of glorifying Him. Corrie ten Boom, her story is well documented. This was a lady that opened her home to Jews to protect them from persecution during World War II. Her story is well known, but here's a quote that may not be as well known. She said, "It's not my ability, but my response to God's ability that counts." Mother Teresa, who gave her life to caring for those poor and oppressed in India, she said it another way. And it kind of brings us back full circle to where we started this morning. She said, God didn't call us to be successful, just faithful. And that's a glory worth striving for. It's a glory that's achieved only by the denial of self and by the loving, reconciling presence of Jesus Christ in your life, in my life, as we seek to glorify Him. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, you know our hearts. And you know that sometimes most times it becomes about us. What we want, what we can accomplish, what credit we can get. Father, we pray that now you would hear our hearts as we confess to you just how many times we've fallen short of your glory because we failed to give you the glory. Father, hear our confession. Forgive our sin. And take us away from this place renewed, recommitted, and strengthened to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Perhaps you're here this morning and you're not a servant of Christ because for the primary reason that you're not a believer. You've not accepted the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the redemptive act of being on the cross, what He did for you. I want to give you a chance this morning. If you're not a believer, we want to give you a chance to receive Christ. I'll be glad to talk with you during our hymn of invitation. I'll be glad to speak with you afterwards. Be glad to share with you how you can know Christ personally. If you are a believer, but maybe you haven't been living the kind of life that glorifies Him, maybe you've been taking the credit or you've been seeking the credit and the fame and the power and all those things in the workplace and school, wherever you travel, I want to give you a chance this morning to talk with God about that, to confess that to Him and allow Him to strengthen you and give you the resolve that you need and the courage you need to live for Him. If you're here and you would like to be a part of this membership of believers, we'd be glad to talk with you about how College Park receives members as well. Whatever your decision is, we want to ask you to stand and sing. And as you sing, if you would like to make your commitment public, we invite you to do that. Would you stand with me? Would you pray with me as we leave from this place? Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.